Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished individual from the world of medicine from Switzerland, Dr. Hamid Montakab. Hamid, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Dr. Montakab is the founder of the Academy of Chinese Healing Arts. He's the co-founder and president of the Swiss Professional Organization for TCM. TCM is traditional Chinese medicine. He's an author. He's an author of several books on acupuncture and insomnia, Treasures of Acupuncture, Chinese Medicine Revisited, Acupuncture for Headaches, Eyes, and ENT Pathologies, Acupuncture for Treating the Hidden Roots of Disease. And given all the work that he has done, understandably, he's been recognized and felicitated several times. So, Hamid, let me start by asking you a question I'm sure you've been asked many times. What inspired you to pursue a career in both Western medicine and traditional Chinese medicine?
Well, for Western medicine, I think it was, I was sort of predestined. I come from a medical family. My father was a professor of medicine. Mm-hmm. My mother was a trained nurse. My aunt was a midwife. My uncle was a doctor. And wow. Two older cousins also went to become famous doctors. So I think I almost was formatted to follow in my father's footsteps. Mm-hmm. But actually, I studied in France, where my father had graduated. And in the fifth year of medicine, something happened. I got disillusioned from the medicine that I was studying. First of all, I realized that all we were learning was disease. We were never learning about health. There was not a single course about how to preserve health. It was how to cure disease. And when I started doing internship, I realized actually we were dehumanizing the patient. There were no more Mr. So-and-so, it was appendicitis case, room 10, or peritonitis case, this room, et cetera, et cetera. Humans ceased to become humans when they got sick.
Right.
And so this got me to the point. I was in the fifth year. I had gone into medicine with a lot of ideology and romanticism, having seen my father practice. I spent hours actually when he was seeing patients in his office. So I was formatted for another type of approach, and I was disillusioned. So I almost dropped out.
Okay.
But accidentally, as there is no accidents, it was intended such, in a random dinner party, somebody mentioned acupuncture. And I said, what is that? I'd never heard of it. He said, oh, it's some old Chinese technique of healing. I said, let me try it. And little did I know, I fell into Chinese medicine. I discovered the broad and depth of this medicine. And of course, at one stage, I took a sabbatical when I was in residency. I took a year off because I had to decide. I couldn't manage the two. I went east. I spent 4 months in China, 4 months in the Philippines to see the healers, and 4 months in India, where I got also exposed to Ayurveda and other Indian healing methods. And I then realized that really there was a world of healing out there that allopathic medicine had no access to. And so when I came back, I gave up on Western medicine. I practiced it for a while, the two, but I realized that my heart was not in it. So of course, I pursued my career in Chinese medicine.
Fantastic. You know, when I was reading about you and acupuncture, it took me back to when I was 15 or 16 years ago, that is over 50 years ago. And I used to have a sinus problem. And my father was an army officer. So he sent me to someone who practiced acupuncture. I went through, I think, 6 or 7 sessions. And I've never had a sinus problem since then. So, and this was, 52 years ago. So You know, thank you for talking about TCM today. So my next question to you is that, Hamid, since you have done work in Western medicine and TCM, how do the philosophies of Western medicine and TCM differ? And how have you integrated them in your practice?
Well, I would say our medicine is a reflection of our vision of the world, of our philosophical paradigms, in a sense. And unfortunately, the West has gone in the direction of materialistic vision of the universe. You know, since the 17th century, there was a rift between the church and science, which in a sense was good. It freed science up from dogma, but at the same time, we lost touch with something fundamental, which is the metaphysical and spiritual dimension of the human. And then, of course, we are still, our medicine is Newtonian based. It's a cause and effect. And we see how we practice it. We find a disease, we look for the cause, and we try to demolish the cause. Right. This is a Western approach, also paradigm. We do the same thing in politics. We do the same thing, as we see, with war. We destroy. And when we destroy, we think we are destroying the causative factor, but we are also destroying health. And what I loved about Chinese dimension of Chinese medicine was that human is integrated in the universe. It's integrated in the environment, and you cannot separate. And obviously, this is classical Chinese medicine. I discovered, unfortunately, over the years, that what we call TCM, which is traditional Chinese medicine, actually the term was coined in the 1950s.
Okay.
It is not classical Chinese medicine.
I see.
It is a filtered and reduced Chinese thought system to fit to Marxist, Leninist, communist beliefs. Therefore, the psyche, the soul, the emotions were taken out. They were censored. It didn't fit into the paradigm of communism. So obviously, they also followed the Western model of treating disease. And once again, they forgot about maintaining health.
Well said.
And coming back to this point, which is for me very crucial, the first chapter of the book, which is called Neijing Suwen, which is the Yellow Emperor's classic of internal medicine, where all of Chinese medicine is sort of rooted in that book, the very first chapter talks about why do people get sick? And Qibo, the physician, answers, because they have lost touch with the seasons. They have lost touch with the environment, in a sense. And of course, it goes even further, but this is, for me, crucial, that the first chapter is talking about how to maintain health and not talking about disease.
Fascinating. Thank you. And then you, you know, also went on to establish the Academy of Chinese Healing Arts. Tell me a little bit about your motivation.
Well, having gone through many schools, you know, I studied acupuncture in France, and then I went east, then I went to America, and I did some trainings there. And I realized that actually the classics were not being taught.
Right.
We had brought Chinese TCM into the Western world, where people come with a symptom and we relieve that symptom. We don't go any further. So my idea was to create a school, and we did that with my wife, to create a school and here show that actually beyond the symptom, there is a disbalance that has to be addressed. And I was fortunate in that we also invited and brought many speakers to our school. The school continues today. I have retired, but the school now continues under a slightly different name, Qiwei. And I think you have had Simon Becker, who is now the director of the school. And so in a way, I've kept my contact with that school.
Amazing.
But we created it in 1986 with my wife. So it's been a,
kind of a long time back
for a while.
So, Hamid, you know, let's talk a little bit about acupuncture. You know, this is a top subject that a lot of people have heard a lot about, but know very little about. So my first question to you is, how does acupuncture work from a medical standpoint? And what are some of the common misconceptions about its effectiveness?
I would say the first misconception that doctors have is that it is not scientific. Why? Because the channels of acupuncture are not physical channels. Now, this is an old belief because at the time when acupuncture came to the West, it was the French who brought it. And the channels were not anatomical. So they called them meridians, which are imaginary lines.
Right.
Today, with modern technology, we have been able to demonstrate the existence of the channels, which have an electromagnetic reality. And even anatomically, anatomists have been able to distinguish that acupuncture points, they have a different cell structure than the tissues which are around. So actually, this aspect has been, let's say, demonstrated. So doctors cannot argue about it. Second misconception, when they say it's not scientific, is because they want to do double-blind studies with acupuncture. How can you do a double-blind study? Double-blind studies are meant for medical or medicinal substances. You cannot do it for a technique. But once again, there is a great body of studies which are done, meta studies, and a colleague of mine, Dr. Szmielnicki from Poland, has created a website which is called Evidence-Based Acupuncture, where he has collected all the studies that have been done. So today, a doctor who criticizes acupuncture, we can just refer them. And then another point was also, at the time I was doing acupuncture, they were saying, oh, it's psychosomatic. It's only works if you believe in it. Now, I have done a lot of work on children. And I have colleagues who have worked with animals. Now, if it's psychosomatic, really, how can you explain the results, excellent results that we have with small children and animals? So that, again, can be wiped away.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you. You also, in your book, Acupuncture and Insomnia, talk about treating insomnia with acupuncture. How does this work and how does it compare with the conventional treatment?
Okay, so one thing before we go into that, sleep after the basic human needs, which is air, water, and food, sleep is the most important function for survival. Now, most people maybe are not aware of the importance of sleep. And those who don't sleep, I mean, they develop so many problems. Today, the world is really, well, I did a study on sleep in the 90s. It was financed by the Swiss Foundation, Research Foundation. And at that time, we were talking about roughly 25 to 30% of the world population. This is in the 90s. 30 years later, today, we talk about 40%. That means 40% of people around the world sleep poorly. They don't recover from sleep. And furthermore, it is also proven by the amount of medicinals which are sold for sleep. It's the biggest amount per year in every country, especially industrialized countries. I mean, I'm shocked at the amount of tranquilizers that people are swallowing.
Right.
Now, sleep problems, as all other problems, are just a symptom of a disbalance. And so what we are proposing is not to, again, do a symptomatic treatment. it's not the idea to make the person sleep, it's to see what is the underlying cause and treat them. So in this sense, obviously, we have excellent results, especially with patients who have old standing sleep problems. And I was horrified when I did the study because it was we had invited people with insomnia to join. And I was horrified to see some of them were taking sleeping pills for 15, 20 years. Now, any sleeping, let's say, pill or treatment, it says should not be pursued more than 3-4 weeks. So I find this criminal to have people practically dependent on a pill, which is not doing, because pills are not, they make you sleep longer, but they don't respect the architecture of sleep.
Right.
And they have different sleep stages. Each of them have their own particular purposes. And when we take a simple sleeping pill, often the architecture of sleep is disturbed and we don't get that part that we need. So in with Chinese medicine, I mean, again, coming back, a good Chinese medicine, we can correct it at the base, at the root.
Amazing. You also talk about acupuncture being able to address different types of headaches. And, you know, like you mentioned about sleep, a headache is quite common all over the world. What has been your success rate in handling headaches through acupuncture?
Okay. Headaches is something very personal. I had migraine headaches personally from early childhood. And of course, having a medical family, I was taken to all the top specialists. And the end result was they said it's congenital, it's essential, nothing to do, just take painkillers when it happens. And for me, this was like, I went through all my studies, university years, taking in my pocket, I always had some painkillers. My fear was that the headache would come during an exam or a crucial moment. So when I started Chinese medicine, in the second year, I said, why not try? I mean, they have told me there's no cure for it. Why not try acupuncture? So I found a doctor and I went and I had about 4 or 5 months of treatments. And this was in the early 70s. So now it's over 50 years. Yeah. I have not had a single migraine.
Incredible.
Headache, like your sinus problems. Now, in Chinese medicine, the pain, I would say, is a symptom. The pain is a call for us to look at something which is wrong and go for the root, correct it at the base. And in Chinese medicine, we say we have over 100 causes for headaches.
Right.
In Western medicine, we don't have so many. As far as we have eliminated some neurological or vascular problems, the solution is painkillers.
Amazing. Thank you. Talking of another one of your books, Acupuncture for Treating the Hidden Roots of Disease, you discuss addressing underlying causes of illness. And I know a few minutes back you talked about how Western medicine really talks of curing an illness and TCM is more preventative. Help me understand how does TCM address underlying causes of illness?
Okay, as I mentioned, a symptom which manifests is a call, a body's call for paying attention to something which is going wrong. And one of my criticisms to Western medicine is that we only take care of the symptom. As an example, if you're driving your car and a red light starts blinking on your dashboard, it's normal. We take it to the mechanic, he identifies what is wrong and corrects it. It might also be that maybe the way that we are driving the car is wrong. Maybe you're pushing the gas to the revs too high, etc. Now, Western medicine does not do this. Mm. Western medicine tries to cover up the symptom.
Right.
Shut it up by giving anti. If you see, if we take all our major drug classes, all of them start with anti.
Mm.
Anti-pain, anti-inflammatory, antibiotic, antidepressant.
Yes.
It's amazing. I mean, it shows also our philosophy and approach to medicine.
Mm.
So again, the Hidden Roots actually is the last book, and it certainly will be my last book,
mm-hmm.
which came out of, we wrote it together with my wife, Solange. Actually, it was thanks to the COVID shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at what was happening in the world and also our combined experience of 50 years of practice, we realized that actually at the root of our problems, there are often hidden causes or traumas.
Mm-hmm.
There is Dr. Hora, Thomas Hora, mm-hmm. who said something that the cause of all illness is mm-hmm. psychological, but the cure of all psychological problems is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's also our thinking paradigm, our philosophy of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very important to go deeper and bring that out, that at the root of, even if you take any disease today, cancer has been demonstrated by yeah. many doctors in America and in the West, that the root cause is a non-expressed emotional situation or trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And in our work, I mean, I can say in my years of practice, this mm-hmm. has been confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So Hamid, I've got time for one more question. And staying with acupuncture, I wanted to ask you, what role can acupuncture play in addressing mental health issues such as anxiety and depression? And anxiety, depression are now very much being talked about openly in the world as compared to earlier when they were all inside the closet.
Well, they've been talking openly because it's increasing. And once again, we come back to the same discussion about our lifestyle, our belief systems, the way that the world has structured itself,
mm-hmm.
what we have lost in name of progress, in the name of industrialization. We have lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was talking, I also remembered something for me, which has had a lot of impact on my understanding, is Buddha's words
right.
that the source of suffering, human suffering, is ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this ignorance does not mean that we don't have education. We don't have, unfortunately, we have too much of that, or diplomas, etc. Ignorance of the basic facts of life, and the belief that we are separate from each other, we are separate from the environment. And obviously this has created a lot of despair when we don't have a future, we don't see a future, there's a lot of insecurity in the world. Mm-hmm. And this insecurity, family structures have been broken up. So as we age, aging has become a disease.
Mm.
We treat it, senility, menopause, etc., have become diseases, whereas right. they are natural seasons of life.
Mm.
And in the past, families had old people.
Mm.
When I grew up, I had my grandmother, my great-grandmother in the house. They were part of the family. Today, what we do, we send them off into old people's homes.
Yeah.
We separate them, segregate them. So this creates a lot of stress, a lot of fear.
Right.
And this is normal. Our lifestyle has led to it.
Hmm.
So to answer your question, unfortunately, it's not Chinese medicine which is going to resolve it.
No.
It's a whole change of perspective.
Absolutely. Very well said. Amrit, unfortunately, we've run out of time. So I just want to say thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for telling me so much about traditional Chinese medicine. For me, you're telling me that traditional Chinese medicine is not what classical Chinese medicine was. I think I must go and read a little more about this. Thank you also for talking to me about acupuncture, an area that you are an expert in. So many different aspects of addressing, you know, not just insomnia, but also talking about headaches, mental health. Thank you also for talking to me about so many different aspects of medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, and how you have given back so much to the world in an area of wellness. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.